Thank you for that prayer and scripture. And the first song, I'd like us to stand. And we're just going to proclaim that as I come into your presence, past the gates of praise into your sanctuary, till we're standing face to face, I look upon your countenance and I see the fullness of your grace. We're going to bow down and say that he's awesome in this place. But have you ever felt his grace upon your life? Sing it like you felt it. Over 12 years ago that the Lord had to reprimand me in something that had to do with worship. And I'm going to stop for a minute so I can concentrate. We were at a park where it was a citywide worship and all the churches got together and it was wonderful. Certain churches did certain things. Some did worship. Some brought the chairs, helped with the children. And I was sitting towards the front, just enjoying the worship. And in front of me, there was an adult foster home that had brought their clients with them. And there was this one young man, middle-aged. He was singing with all he could and loud. And it was all sounding like, oh. And for a moment, I said, oh, I need to sing louder because it was not pleasing to my ear. And I wanted to enjoy it. And the Lord reprimanded me on that. And he said, I love it. I want to hear it. And because he said he's singing with all of his heart. That's his heart singing. The vocal cords may not be working. That's pleasing to my ear. But his heart was singing. And I stopped. And I didn't sing for the rest of the service so I could hear what God was hearing. And you know what? It turned out to be beautiful because I heard his heart singing. Now, we were sharing this with Pastor Karen and Carl. Can you come up? Carl had a personal story that had to do with him, and Pastor Karen asked if we would both share.
When I became Christian, I...
Helps if I turn it on. When I became a Christian, I wanted to worship God with all of my heart. And I tried to sing and sing and sing. And I don't do well with singing. And so I started apologizing to God. You know, I'm sorry my voice doesn't sound any better. I'm sorry that it fluctuates all over the place. And so I apologized to God, but it didn't stop me from trying to worship. And God says, no, I like your voice. So we started a song. And when we started the song and I started singing, he said, Carl, this is the voice I hear. And he let me hear my voice as he heard it in heaven. And it was a beautiful voice. So don't stop singing. Don't stop worshiping. Because the voices here on earth is not what he hears in heaven.
Amen. Amen. So we're going to sing this again, especially when it comes to the part, sing like never before. If you are one that feels I need to keep my voice down because someone may not like it, remember, he is the one that is the audience. He is the one that we are singing to. So sing like never before.
Thank you. I was looking at on Facebook, and do you remember some of you were at the Women Arise conference and at the Got Love conference, and that Breakthrough Fine Arts Ministry, and two of the dancers, Sister Angela and Sister Marcia, and then they had some others join on the second conference that I had at Wycliffe at SIL. And she on Facebook was sharing about her four-year-old daughter that she was saying, oh, I have to get my tithes, you know, ready for church. She goes, Mommy, what's a tithe? And so she explained to her, now Sister Marcia, she is single, a single mother, a single parent. And it was just neat that she said, what a blessing to teach my daughter. She goes, when Mommy gives you a dollar, then you give 10 cents to Jesus. And so, and then he will use it, you know, and bless others. And so it was a neat thing to see, even on Facebook, her sharing that, but still her following, even being single with the challenges. And I know you guys have heard me share the challenges that I went when I became single. I thought, okay, I can't tithe anymore. And then God convicted me. I heard different stories going to different counseling from Christians. Well, meaning, but some saying don't, some saying God understands, some saying continue. And I was going with the conviction in my heart. I went back to tithing and God took care of us. God totally and completely took care of us and gave offerings as the Lord led and above and beyond the tithe. So it was neat to see that. So that was such a cute, that was a cute story. Beyond you have neat stuff. That was really neat. And I love that. Well, this evening is Rosh Hashanah, and it's called the Feast of Trumpets. And this evening it starts. Now, I was looking, if somebody can help me out, it said 2 days. And it was saying on this one calendar that I was looking at, it was saying from today, this evening, sunset, you know, because sunset to sunset is their days, to the 18th. And then when I looked on this one calendar, it said the 7th to the 18th outside of Israel. I didn't understand that, because then on the other holidays I was looking and I was like, it looked like, you know, it was all on the same day. So I don't know what that's about. They celebrate. It's also known as Shana Tova, and that's Happy Jewish New Year. And it's the year 5773. But as we go into these 10 days before we hit Yom Kippur, and it's called the Days of Awe, these 10 days are called the Days of Awe. From the feast, the day of, and to Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement. And it's basically, it's representing what we have done with Jesus. So I just want you to remember, I would try to blow the trumpet, but I'm not still really good at it. I'm getting better. Thank you for that hint. But I do have the shofar over there. But I just wanted to remind you, this is a great time too for us to remember, because we should always be doing a repentant and having a holy fear of God's judgment. And we should always have that. And this is what they are doing at this point in time. They are in these days of awe, they are starting to repent and cleanse and try to restitute what they can with others. And then on Yom Kippur, which is the 25th to the 26th, you know, the eve to the eve. And so, but this is what we are supposed to be doing, because we want to have, to be spotless in the sense that we're I call it fessed up, in a sense, you know, continually having that humble heart, recognizing we're sinners, and constantly wanting to be checked by the Holy Spirit, convicted, and repent and turn from that. Like Daniel, King David, says in Psalm 51, and he's saying, you know what, I want to have a humble and contrite spirit, you know, and I think it's verse 16 or 17, I think it's verse 17, where he says that, I just want to be thoroughly penitent. And he goes, you know, I need you, Holy Spirit, and I need you. I don't want to grieve or quench the Holy Spirit when he's saying, you know, take not your Holy Spirit from me, you know. And he wants to have that joy of his salvation, because it comes from God. And that's where we're at. Well, y'all know we're going through The Irresistible Church by Wayne Cadero. And we're going to be on the second trait. And he labels that second trait this month as an irresistible church remembers who she is. Now remember, it's more about us, not so much as the church. And I was at a Tucson Ministry Alliance luncheon on Thursday, and a guy named Chuck Fitzgerald who leads the Office of Faith and Community at Arizona Department of Economic Security. Is that a long enough name for you? And he provides oversight for many of the faith-based and community initiatives in the state of Arizona. He was talking and showing things, and he was showing even our area and what is going on and how they are trying to help. But he had a little quote that he said, and he goes, "It takes the whole community to make the community whole." And I thought, wow, I like that. Because see, Jesus, we are the church. We are the body of Christ. And we all have different gifts and talents. And as the body of Christ, it doesn't matter what denomination. As the body of Christ around the world, we can make the world whole. And we can make our community whole. We are part of several churches here just in Catalina, let alone in Tucson. And we as a church body can make the community whole. But we need to be whole first. See, and that wholeness comes through Jesus Christ, through the blood that he shed on the cross for each one of us. When we repent of our sins, we have received that wholeness. And we have received the power of his blood and the power of his name to go out and tell others. At the beginning, you may just know that, and that's great. And then as you grow in his word, which Wayne Cadero is trying to encourage us to do, that is when the Holy Spirit is working on us. The power of the word is working in us. We may not even understand it. The Holy Spirit does, and our spirit does, because the Holy Spirit is using that. It is life, and it is breath, and it is feeding us and healing and ministering to us. There is power in this word. There was a gentleman also that gave his testimony from the Gospel Rescue Mission, and he's doing really well. He's been sober for 8 years, and he's leading men's Bible studies. He's on his own buying houses and helping people to get into homes that probably normally couldn't. This man who was down out in the streets, when he came to the Gospel Rescue Mission, he had one shoe on and one shoe off because somebody had stolen his shoe when he was fall asleep at a bus stop. And he said that's often what happens when you're homeless. Here's an intelligent man, but he wound up going wrong way. And you know what he said he found out? He says often people go to drugs and alcohol because they have no sense of hope. Well, we know that pathway to hope. And it is only in and through him. And as we have that wholeness, we can help bring that wholeness to the community, joining with others, not just our church, joining with others. And that's why I have a bunch of even different pamphlets and stuff from different Christian ministries. I want us to be involved in being that light in the community. In this chapter 2, and remembering who we are, he emphasizes three things: that we are the bride of Christ, we are the family of God, and we are his soldiers. But I also know that in these Bible metaphors of who our identity is in Christ, well, we are also followers of him. We are his disciples. Remember, seek him. That was last week. Truly seek him with all your heart, soul, mind, body, all your strength. And then we need to remember, as I mentioned, we are Christ's body, the church. That is part of, like, we are family. And then we need to remember also in Psalm, I think it was 110, yesterday in my reading, my Bible reading, and it said we're his volunteers. Now, I've read that Psalm before, but it just dawned on me this time. I go, wow, Lord, it's true, because you're our source. You're a Jehovah Jireh. You're a provider. And all we need is you. And we're at a volunteer basis because we're so thankful for what you've done for us. We want to share it with others, and we want to help in practical ways. And then we are his soldiers. Well, I'm going to concentrate. And in his book, he says he concentrates on the bride of Christ. So I said, awaken, warrior bride. And I kind of pulled this stuff up. We need to possess our bridal inheritance. We need to be that spotless bride for him. He gives the example in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 through 30. I'd like you, if you have your Bibles, to go to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 through 30. I have it written down in very big letters so that I don't have to keep pulling my glasses on and off. And I love this where I saw this one. I like her eyes. It's like, don't mess with me. I am God's private. Don't mess with me. I like this one because she's like looking. She's alert. We are supposed to be awake and alert and helping others and other Christians. We are supposed to help seek the lost and help them to know him. But we are supposed to help defend each other and lift each other up and pick each other up. And we are always supposed to be carrying one sword, as Nehemiah talks about in the Word. And I think it was Nehemiah chapter 4. And I think it's like verses 16 through 20 or something like that, where he talks about having the sword as they're rebuilding the wall in Jerusalem. And they have one sword, but they have the other hand doing stuff. They are always ready. So we can have that sword and the power of his word with us and the power of his name, the power of his blood covering us. But we need to be doing too. And so I thought it's neat to have that. We're always ready. And remember, we are the bride. And Jesus is also known as the Lion of Judah. And he is coming again soon. And I love these pictures. And we need to awaken ourselves, because sometimes we tend to sleep and we don't want to be one of those bridesmaids that is not ready for when he returns. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 through 30. So that, and I'm reading from the Amplified, as you guys know, often I do. So that he, Jesus, might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present the church to himself in glorious splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such things, that she might be holy and faultless. We can only do this in and through his blood, by his blood. Even so, husbands should love their wives as being, in a sense, their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and carefully protects and cherishes it as Christ does the church. Because we are members, parts of his body, the church. We are part of the International Church of the Foursquare Gospel. But we are part, the International Church of the Foursquare Gospel is part of the International Church of God. Those who truly preach that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to him but by his Son that he had shed his blood for each one of us. Going on, then it says, then one of the, oh, and then, I'm sorry, and that's it, right? Correct? And then in Revelation chapter 21, verses 9 and 10, it talks about the bride as being the Lamb's wife. Revelation 21, 9 and 10. So, we are the bride. We are the family. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. It says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, God's own purchased special people, that you may set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfections of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And then Matthew 5:16, I love this one. It says, let your light so shine before men. We've been singing it. Do you see how the worship songs were like so cool going with it together? We didn't even like talk. But it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Do you remember when I shared the testimony the other week about the Moravians and how John Wesley on this ship over was watching them? And he was going, wait a minute, these English that profess to be Christians, they're freaking out with the storm. And they're not wanting to do the horrible jobs on the ship that needed to be done. And the Moravians took it with humility and wanted to. They were pleased because they knew it pleased the Father. They knew that whatever they did it as if unto him. And they had a peace that no matter what happened, he was there. They were encouraging. That did a lot to John Wesley. And it made him seek, what do they have that I do not have? And then in Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 15, this is one that I used to claim for quite some time. Do all things without grumbling and fault finding and complaining against God and questioning and doubting among yourselves, that you may show yourselves to be blameless and guileless, innocent and uncontaminated, children of God without blemish, faultless, unrebukable, in the midst of a crooked and wicked generation, spiritually perverted and perverse, among whom you are seen as bright lights, stars or beacons shining out clearly in the dark world, holding out to it and offering to all men the word of life, holding fast to the word of life, holding fast to Jesus, who is the word in the flesh. The word is always. It will never end. It says in the word that heavens and the earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. And I remember one time at work, somebody said, when you came here, the light came. And I had been claiming this verse for some time. They didn't know that. But it was like a confirmation, Lord, thank you, Lord. Now, Joyce Meyer said she's still working on the don't complain at least once a day, and she still hasn't gotten there. And, you know, I mean, that one's like a hard one. But it's one of those that shows that we need to have those days of awe continuously. Continuously asking the Holy Spirit, show me where I blew it today and help me to recognize it, to repent. We all have our blind spots too. Allow other people to instruct you and to correct you, because that's sometimes the way the Holy Spirit does it too, and our Lord graciously. So we want to have those teachable spirits with humble hearts. This is part of the family, and that's what we're all about, helping each other. Well, we are part of God's royal family. I love it. I've seen the King's Speech. Has anybody seen that movie, The King's Speech? And it's about where King Edward, the oldest of four sons, gave up and renounced the throne for himself and signed a declaration of abdication on December 10th, 1936. After his father died, it was in order for him, and he was raised to be the next king. He did not want that responsibility. He did not want to do that. He did not have that love for his position, his love for the country that he was part of and over. Instead, he wanted to follow the ways of the world. He chose that instead. And so he abdicated it. Now, the second in line was Albert. And they have several names, not just a first, a middle, and a last. They had like four or five names. He said it all in the movie. And King George, he took on King George VI, because that was one of his names. And that's how we've heard of King George VI. But he was a reluctant king. Why? Because he had a stammering problem. He had had that since he was young, and he stuttered a lot. But God graciously knew this, right? And he had been helping King George way back, the sixth, way back when, 10 years before, when he was speaking at a Wimbledon event in Wimbledon, a gentleman heard him, an Australian speech therapist heard him, named Lionel Logue. And so he started helping him. He had given up on all these different speech therapists. He's a king's son. He had a lot of people working with him. Well, God used this gentleman to reach him and to help him. And they developed a friendship over those 10 years. So when he became king and he had to make his first speech, Lionel was there helping him, coaching him. Now, remember, this is before a bunch of cameras and stuff. So he was just frightened of just a radio. But God was with them. See, we have a coach. We have a speech therapist, and that's the Holy Spirit. See, God knew that. He knew that our life and our position, just as a child and receiving that inheritance and all the rights that we have with that, we were going to need help. He doesn't want us to reject and choose the ways of the world as King Edward did. He chose love of a woman instead of love of the family and his position. But we have a love for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we need to take up and rise up in our position as a warrior bride of Christ, a soldier bride of Christ, as part of the family. And we will conquer and help as a whole unit make this community whole. Do you remember the word that was given to Pathway of Hope? REACH. And the acronym, reveling in Him, in our Lord God, revering Him, reveling in His presence, encouraging one another. We need to help each other to alleviate those distractions, as King Edward allowed himself to be alleviated by the distractions of love for another woman instead of what was approved of for his position. And then we need to also have that committed heart of service, because King George VI was frightened. He didn't want to be it, and he didn't feel like he could be it. He goes, I wasn't raised for this. I wasn't positioned for this, and I have my speech problem. I am incapable of this. God said, no. See, God arranges all authority, and he knew what King Edward was going to do. He knew when his father was going to die, and he knew when King George VI was going to take that position. He knew he was the right man for when World War II was going to hit. And what a strong man he was in helping England and encouraging England to be strong through that war. We are in a war right now. And each one of us are kings and queens of the Lord. We are his bride. And we need to rise up and reach with that committed heart of service. And the H being honoring God and honoring others. We can reach and make this community whole. But we need to rise up to our positions. Who are we? We are the bride of Christ. We are family. We are part of the royal family. And we are soldiers. We should be shining and glowing with his love for everybody to see. The bride of Christ, remember that with the bride of Christ, as it continued on, be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. This is continuing in Ephesians. Wives, it talks about being subject, be submissive, and adapt yourselves to your own husbands as a service to the Lord. This is how we're reaching. We have that committed heart of service to the Lord, and we're adapting as the situations, assessing, and we're able to adapt for our husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are able to do that. We are reaching and helping this community to be whole. It goes on in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, himself the Savior of his body. As the church is subject to Christ, so let wives also be subject in everything to their husbands. That's why husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. We are giving ourselves to each other because we have given ourselves to him. And we are his. See, we need to be excited about our wedding day, the wedding feast, when the Christ returns to take his bride. But how many are not being excited? We need to rise up and be excited. Be that spotless bride. Be getting ready and be excited and telling others. And you want to be it too, because this is for you too. God has a specific bridal dress for each and every one of us, in a sense. You might say, a gown that is beautiful. It is just for you because it is covered by his blood. And then you can rise up and be that mighty bride warrior. I know some have a hard time with the bride part, so I was wanting to come in with combat boots and a wedding dress and the combat shoes and a sword. And I was just like, you know what? Because we're all of that. And we are sons and daughters of Christ. And I was looking for my son-in-law's army stuff, but I couldn't find it. I don't know where it is, because I was going to at least get his jacket, you know. But it's like, you know, that's what we are. This blood has helped us to have that. And we have the word. See, God has been preparing Pathway of Hope since he planted it here 7 years ago. And his vision for our church was loving him, loving others. Nothing more, nothing less. And we can do this because we exist to glorify him by being a spirit-filled people, empowered by him to do his perfect will in this imperfect world. And in this, we will glorify God as we love, trust, and obey him in helping the blind to see, to know the truth, his truth, and set the captives free by being a light for him in the community. Amen. That is how they will be whole. These are the different vision statements God has given Pathway of Hope and continuing, but you see how it all comes together. The first word was harvest. The next one was believe. And now reach. We can reach with his truth and with his power to this community to make it whole. But it's got to start here. It's got to start within ourselves. As we were singing in our worship song, we need to remember that we are God's team. You may think that's part of the family. Remember when you were in elementary school and you hated if you weren't talented, you were the one that was not picked or picked last. Do you remember that? Usually it happens in elementary school or on the block games. But you know what? God said, no, I chose you. And you have exactly what you think. You may think like you're King George VI and not ready for this position that I have you for, but you are. You're fully and completely equipped. Because I do not, as Romans 11:29 says, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. And that is only through his son. He chose us. Before we were even born, he chose us. And he knew where we would be. We are well equipped right now for where we are and the different seasons of our lives too. And there will be seasons where we're going to have to lean on him even more. But we are part of God's church team. Church, the acronym, being C, we are centered. H, harmoniously. U, under. R, reverent. C, continuous. H, honor. Yes, we are part of God's church team. Centered harmoniously under reverent, continuous. Honor, for we exist to glorify God. He is love, and we are an extension of his love to this community. We need to do it what we are told to do. We are his soldiers. So we need to take our share of hardships and suffering, which we are called to endure, as a good first-class soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier, when in service and in warfare, gets entangled in the affairs of this life. His aim is to satisfy and please the one who enlisted him. This is in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. And it's a blend of the Amplified and the New King James Version. We are soldiers of him. See, Amy Semple McPherson, well, she was from the Salvation Army, remember? And the soldiers and the uniforms and stuff. Well, Paul's mother went to Life Bible College for a while. And this is an old hat. It has an airplane. It says Liberator Class, Life 46. So you all are going to get out to go into the mission field. Put on your hats. You are soldiers for Jesus. Take the sword. You have your dress on, but you have your combat boots underneath. And you are going to be preparing because you're now going to go into the mission field. These are pretty mean looking. I like this because the print that I found, it has like a, it reminds me of like the knights that they had that stuff to protect their necks, that chain-like stuff. I found this border on my computer. And then the butterflies, we are born again, right? Christ, we are born again, but we have a power. And these look like some mean butterflies. See, we're going to look beautiful, but don't mess with me. Like this one picture, don't mess with me. I may look beautiful, but don't mess with me. See, we are mean butterflies out there. And when you're going out into this mission field, I want you to be a mean butterfly. Yeah, you are born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, but you're going to be humble and beautiful and kind when needed and gentle and land gently. But you have a fierce attack when it is needed in the name and blood of Jesus Christ because you have the power of his name. Paul, can you hand these out to everybody? Okay. I'm going to hang this up and I want you to hand those out to everybody. We're going to sing this a cappella. And we can do it. Churches did it for many, many years. And we are going to sing this a cappella as I get this ready for you. Onward Christian Soldiers is a 19th century English hymn written by Sabine Baring-Gould in 1865. And the music then was composed and written by Arthur Sullivan in 1871. Now, as I said, the Salvation Army adopted the hymn as its favored processional, and the four square for a long time had the uniforms because of that Salvation Army influence. Amy Supple McPherson and her mother helped with the Salvation Army for many years. And so, in preparation for you guys, as you are going out, Dick, do I have permission to hang this right up here on the wall right before you go out? As you notice, I'm doing it right before the door that you go out, but I'm also kind of strategically putting it right near our missions board because I want us to be outward focused, not just Pathway of Hope focused, not just ourselves. We are a family. And go ahead and sing lower. It has to be a little bit higher because the refrain goes very low for me. So as I lead, I will obviously be in a higher key.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe, forward into Christian soldiers marching as to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. At the sign of triumph, Satan's host doth flee. On then, Christian victory, hell's foundations quiver at the shouts of praise. Brothers, lift your voices, loud your anthem raise. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. Like a mighty army moves the church of God. Brothers, we are trembling where the saints have tried. born soldiers marching as to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. Onward then, ye people, join our happy throng, blend with ours your voices in the triumph song. Glory, laud, and honor unto Christ the King. This through countless ages men and angels sing.
Please stand.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before.
Oh Lord God, I truly thank you and praise you, Lord God, for your love for each and every one of us. I thank you and praise you that you are strengthening us, Lord God, because it is only by your grace that you empower us to be the strong, godly Christian that you have called us to be your spotless bride, and to be your mighty warrior, your soldier, for we are all part of the family. Help us not to have anything that keeps us from loving and caring for one another. Lord, I ask and pray that you will help each and every one of them to receive this benediction prayer that is taken from 2 Timothy, Peter, chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. May grace and peace, which is perfect, well-being, all necessary good, all spiritual prosperity, and freedom from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts be multiplied to you in the full personal, precise and correct knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may, each one of you, may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. May we also be beautiful but fierce butterflies for you. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys have a blessed, blessed, blessed week. And enjoy reading chapter 2 for those who have the book. Thank you.